Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. We hear a lot these days about the notion of extended planning and analysis, or XP&A, which integrates financial, operational, and supply chain planning to achieve increased levels of efficiency, agility, and accuracy. But most of the time, XP&A is presented as an aspiration, something to work towards. But some companies, it turns out, have been working towards XP&A for years. I am very excited today to welcome my guest, Jessica Keyless. Jessica is a finance leader and director at a global manufacturer, and she is here to talk about the 10 years she spent earlier in her career at an international chemical company that embraced integrated business planning, what we now call XP&A. And this was not just a one-time project, but it was a continuous strategic process at this company. Welcome, Jessica. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, AG. It's really exciting to be here. I appreciate it.
So, Jessica, why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you became a finance and planning geek? Hope you don't mind that term.
Certainly don't mind the term. And geek describes me to a T in this front, at least, probably everywhere, to be honest. So to go backwards a little bit, I did an undergrad and an MBA at Southern Connecticut State University. I did those back to back. And at that point, when I finished that MBA, my work history included some temp work all throughout college, mainly in credit and collections, and then mostly lifeguarding. So I graduated, time to get a real job. And Chemtura had an opening for an analyst. So I applied and in some stroke of luck, they hired me. And I thought it would be a starter job, 2-3 years. And I ended up spending 12 years there, 11 under Chemtura and then one under Lanxess when they eventually bought Chemtura. So I was there in 2006 and I left there in 2018. And It was a really fun time. There was a lot that went on. It was a public company. We went through a bankruptcy, a Chapter 11 restructuring. We acquired things. We divested things. There was always something going on. And then eventually the acquisition was also obviously huge with due diligence and that sort of thing. So I worked through all that with Chemtura, and that was really where I learned TM1, and it grew with me, with the company, with our development team, and really was integral in everything we did.
So you just mentioned TM1, and let me just explain to our listeners that TM1 is now better known as IBM Planning Analytics, and it is a software platform specifically for planning, analysis, and reporting. So Jessica, let's get back to your story of how Chemtura, where you used to work, had this TM1 technology and how having TM1 helped you all deal with the many challenges you mentioned, correct?
Yep. So, you know, in my time at Chemtura, I always worked in finance. I did do a bit more accounting towards cost accounting when I was working in functions like procurement, logistics, S&OP. I worked in business units as the FP&A director. So having all those different views really helped. And I used TM1 in different ways in each one of those, sometimes developing something new to lend itself to something else, refining something. But really, the way that I became a geek, I'll say, in all this was that I started out as an accounting major, got to the second class and said, nope, this is not for me. I knew I wanted to be in business. There was no such thing as data science back then. There were always sort of an IT under the business school, but not data science. but I did love statistics. So I almost tried to do a math thing, but there was nothing that brought it all together like there is today. So I really feel that, you know, XP&A encompasses all those things. It's basic math skills. It's data science, but you break that down into basic math skills, looking at trends and correlations, you know, a touch of IT, and that's about it.
Okay, so let me see if I can pull this together here. So you had this wide range of experiences at Chemtura, at your first employer out of school. And then at the same time, you had all of these varying interests, right? Not accounting so much, but you were interested in business, you were interested in IT, you were interested in data, and you learned this technology from IBM. And all of this then comes together to drive how Chemtura does their planning. So can you tell us a little bit more big picture specifically about what the planning processes and cadences look like and what advantages they derived from having that combination of solid technology to support it, but also good business processes to take advantage of the technology?
Sure. So I'll describe where the end state was. Obviously, we had a lot of starts and stops and edits along the way, but this is essentially our end state. We did 3 forecasts a year, a 3+9, 6+6, 9+3. And I will suggest this to anyone, use these naming conventions. Calling something the April forecast, no one knows if that was done in April, it's forecasting April forward, if it's the April actual. So this is a naming convention I love. 3+9, 3 months of actuals, 9 months of forecast. We also did a budget in parallel with our 9+3 forecast. So you can imagine that the turnaround time was incredibly fast. So what we did, we ran our S&OP process using SAP's APO module, and it was a typical S&OP cycle, ran monthly, and finance was involved in every meeting. That's critical to breaking down those silos that we talk about. It went through the statistical demand, the sales team and product managers got together, edited demand. That was called our consensus demand, which was run through MRP. Supply plan came out. We did one more loop, came to consensus, and that was our financial forecast. If at that point edits were made, they were outside of our actual supply planning process. They were, I'll say, topside management adjustments. And this was all done at a SKU and ship to level aligned to our SAP system. So that level of granularity is incredible. And what's more incredible is that you can roll it up, because looking at that level is impossible. It's the slice and dice that you can do at multiple levels in TM1 that makes it very digestible.
Yep. Sorry. Before you move on to the units, I just want to make sure that everyone's following along, because you threw out a few acronyms there, right? So, so by S&OP, you mean sales and operations planning, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
So S&OP, meaning sales and operations planning.
And then you also mentioned MRP.
MRP, material resource planning.
And that was also happening in SAP?
Correct.
All right, great. And then you're pulling all of this together inside TM1.
Correct. So there was an output from that APO that we sourced. I believe it was a CSV file, and that was uploaded. Those units were our financial forecast of what we were going to sell. So from there, we had multiple cubes, I'll call them feeder cubes. We stored selling prices. So each month it was a simple rule, this customer, this material, what was the price per unit? And we had a version in there called last price paid. And essentially for our forecasting purposes, we applied the last price paid to our units to get our revenue. And that all happened rather automatically. All we had to do was check for missing prices and fill them in, usually utilizing input from a product manager or someone else within the business unit, and we had our revenue done in an instant. We would prepare ahead of time, looking for any kind of pricing holes that we had to fill, so that once those units came our way and were stamped with the approval, we could put them in. And we were already done with our revenue and could start analyzing.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, how far back were you doing this stuff? Was this already was this like 2020, or was this, you know?
So that began development, I believe, around 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were very lucky to have someone that had basically the same background I just described, except much even more robust, who found TM1 very early on when it was called TM1, and it stayed with Chemtura, and he eventually administered the entire program. And he built us a lot of things. He understood our needs. That was why he built it initially, was, I'll call it selfishly, that he struggled to corral data.
Right.
And that's how it was born.
Oh, wow.
To bring two SAP system data together at the time. We eventually were on one, but we had two SAP systems with disparate data, and we needed a place to pull it all together. And that was how we started using what was TM1.
Right. That's amazing. But here's the thing, though. You can have like a good vision, a wonderful vision, as it sounds like you guys had, and you can have good technology. I mean, SAP is solid technology, as is TM1. But then there's always the people piece that comes in the way, right? And so you definitely had to figure out how to work across silos, because you guys were in finance and you had to work with the operational people who are doing the S&OP planning. And so were there any challenges there? And this person with the vision, you know, did they just have a really strong personality, or how did that work?
I will say that person that I'm thinking of has the most calm, cool, collected, and friendly disposition. He has a personality that is the excellent bridge between an IT person and that language, and a business person and what they want. And he can bring those two groups together, which is often a place where communication breaks down. So his ability to bridge that and relieve any tensions that are there, which there often are, really helped us along the way. But in reality, no one likes change. You'll get some early adopters. Then you'll get a few people that say, ooh, this will take work off my plate. And there's some people who will never adopt it, and they'll either be forced out because maybe their old methods might become inaccurate or even disappear if the system is sunset. But even the last adopters eventually come around when their old methods stopped working. So we really had a cohesive unit working together, and a lot of pieces working in parallel and tandem that were dependent upon each other, that really snapped together quickly so that we could prepare all the pieces ahead of time. And once these units came in, we could snap it all together.
Right. And you know, it must be that you managed to show enough success that you had sufficient management support at a high enough level to keep supporting the process, right? Because if you didn't have that, it would not have gotten to the sophisticated level that you got to.
Correct. And I think what really proved that was actually that it wasn't so much in our forecasting, it was that we could get to the detail and explain our actuals. So we could tie things out. We knew what built up. We knew which SAP GL accounts were feeding into the actuals of PPV, which units were feeding in. So having all that detail underlying the actuals allowed us to forecast, allowed us to clean a lot, because we found master data problems. We found journal entries that maybe should have been redirected. That kind of thing came with that cleanup. And once you have those actuals in place, life becomes a lot easier when everything's aligned to look at a trend and say, okay, this should be flat. This is inflated, and make some overarching assumptions that make forecasting or planning a lot easier.
Yeah. You know, so I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question, and I don't know if it's a fair question to ask, but we've talked to some customers recently who have gone from quarterly forecasts, as you guys did at Chemtura, to monthly forecasts or even weekly forecasts because of the pandemic, because, you know, being able to run what-if scenarios and run quick forecasts is probably the only way to deal with all the uncertainty that we're all dealing with, right? And one customer I talked to who also had a long history with TM1 had told me that, you know, if they hadn't invested in a planning platform like TM1, and of course there are others, you know, TM1's not the only one that could potentially do this, but if they did not have all of that in place and a process around it, they would never have been able to turn on a dime and increase the frequencies of their forecasts, right? And so looking back, how do you think Chemtura would have done if suddenly they had to go from those quarterly forecasts to something more frequent? Would that have been, you know, a nightmare scenario for the people in finance, or would that just have been a minor adjustment or something in between?
So I guess, of course, it would be a nightmare because now, you know, something would be on top of your plate that wasn't there before that was already full. But I will say that I think, although we use the word unprecedented constantly with COVID, I feel that our Chapter 11, our restructuring, was very similar to what companies had to do throughout the pandemic. Like you said, pivot on a dime. And see what the latest news and trends are and that kind of thing. So when we were in that and having to produce data for the courts and the credit committee and that kind of thing, we had a specific bankruptcy cube that helped us create five-year plans by layering in CAGRs and GDPs and IPI, that kind of thing. So it made it a lot easier to have a very established base of actuals that we could build off of. And again, our administrator had the foresight of how to build that and make it easiest for us to put in CAGRs and have it compound and sort of do a high level, but as accurate as possible. And really teetering that balance is so important.
Right. CAGRs, just to make sure I got this right, CAGRs being
compounded annual growth rate.
Thank you. So this has been a great discussion so far. So I want to try and kind of like pull it together into, you know, the punchline, right? So we all know that planning is a living and breathing thing each time, and you live to this. Each time there's an acquisition or a change in strategy or, God forbid, Chapter 11, you know, the planning models need to change or need to be enhanced. And maybe you need to bring in new people and new data and so on. So it sounds like at Chemtura, your past experience, you know, you achieved a really advanced level of integrated planning, or XP&A as we call it today. And it wasn't so much by just buying a piece of technology and implementing it, but more by investing in it and creating a process and a culture for enabling it all to happen so that it could evolve over time with the needs of the business. So would you agree with that statement that it's not just about, you know, buying that magic technology that's going to solve all your problems, but kind of integrating it into the way you work and the way your culture works, right? And do you have any advice for anyone who's just getting going on their XP&A journey? I mean, a lot of people, believe it or not, are still trying to do a lot of this stuff in Excel. And some people have invested in platforms like IBM Planning Analytics /TM1 or other platforms, but may not have gotten it to the level that you've worked with it, you know? So anyway, any advice?
I'm big on prioritizing, and I just read an article about how the word priorities, being a plural, has just become popular in the last 20 to 30 years. The word was always priority. There was no multiple for it. So I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and how if you sit where you are today and you think, what do I want to know? What do I know today? And that gap, my biggest blind spots, which do I need to attack first? Is it that I don't know which raw materials are causing my PPV? Is it that I have swings in my mix that I can't understand and prioritize them and take it piece by piece? Huge advice is to just go slow, break it down so it's not overwhelming, because this is a big project. If you were to implement this, you know, in a year, that kind of thing, our development took 10 years and trial and error, and at the end was fantastic. But of course, there were trials and tribulations along the way. So don't be discouraged. And don't be surprised when your new technology shows you that the technology is working, but there's some things in your data you didn't know were happening.
No, that's really, really good advice. And I happen to know that after you left Chemtura, you went to another company, and you brought in your old friend TM1, and you've started along the journey afresh, right from the start. And so what was the first thing you prioritized on your new journey that you're still on?
So the first thing we did was a consolidation system. The company is a private company, and we were working out of Excel spreadsheets, which for a very long time were very manageable. The company became more complex, and it was time to put in a system. It isn't an overly complex company, so something like a Hyperion would have been overkill. So we needed something in between, and we shopped a few things, and we ended up here with a consolidation system based on the cloud on TM1 Planning Analytics, and we could not be happier. It's, you know, fully live, integrated. People are thrilled every day with, you know, the fact that they don't have to VLOOKUP to a forecast anymore, wonder if they have the right numbers. So that's great. And we've already even started developing further more down a gross margin route. And that becomes more exciting by the day as we unravel new insights that we can see in the data that really haven't been available before, at least were very difficult. They were very difficult to get to and assemble.
We've been on some of that journey with you, and we've certainly seen some of that, right? But I think it just goes back to the advice you gave us all just a moment ago. Pick one thing to focus on at a time, and then gradually it gets better and better. And as the value starts showing itself, for example, being able to trust your actuals is really cool. Then, you know, you keep building on that, right? And at some point, maybe it even starts to accelerate in value over time. And you and your team get to know the technology so you can do more and more on your own without consultants, right?
Exactly. Because I found that hands-on learning really allows you, and don't be afraid to Google. There's no shame in it. You'll learn everything you need through Google. It's very easy to type in and find out that you can do X in TM1, and you'll find a hit somewhere that shows you step-by-step how to do something, whether it's publishing a PAW book with a nice chart. And there's constant new developments in each release of PAW that every month they're coming out with new charts and new abilities. So the latest release even had a tiny touch of forecasting and Watson in it. So there's exciting stuff there. So I like to keep up with the IBM community and news and things like that, and Qubit's blog and that kind of thing.
All right, that's awesome. And again, another acronym there, PAW, meaning Planning Analytics Workspace, which is...
I was happy that I I got the acronym right, because PAW wasn't a thing when I started using it.
Right. And I'm really glad you're getting value from it. So that's just a component of the IBM offering. But anyway, we'll close off here, Jessica, but thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your insights today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.